Yeah, I guess I knew that Ring of Honor was kind of out there. They are still at least advertising it a little bit on AEW. Not as hard as they had previously. I th feel like they mentioned the shows more than they met, than bringing in the talent.
Well, they were supposed to be dividing the talent out too. All right, you're a Ring of Honor guy. You're on Ring of Honor now. Okay. But then Claudio and Wheeler are front and center on AEW last night, and then Dalton Castle and the boys show up to get murdered. Holy shit.
That one was the Blackpool Combat Club has really ratcheted up the violence quotient in AEW. And not that it wasn't already. I mean, all the announcers are like, yeah, just sneak attack them all the time. Like, it's the best thing you can ever do. But then Tony Schiavone gets mad if you put someone's feet on the ropes.
Also, is it a sneak attack if you just walk down the ringside and make sure they see you? That seems like, it's a dick move. It's ganging up on somebody, but that's not a sneak attack.
Didn't they hit Dalton Castle and the boys from behind?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were. I went to Kenny Omega. So yeah. Well, okay. Also.
That was just I would call that felony five aggravated menacing. It was what they did to Kenny Omega.
All right, Mr. Grand Jury, calm the fuck down. Let's not do this stuff already. Just because you beat your charges doesn't mean. But no, I actually forgot about that. But also, it's not a sneak attack because they have literally established on AEW TV it is smart strategy to attack your opponent first. We talk about this every week.
Oh, yeah.
And then they go, "Well, it's a smart strategy. Now the match starts." Like, what? Why am I like? You can't be mad at them doing this stuff. Like, that's not a bad guy move. Everyone does it.
Yeah, that is the weird thing. Like, I don't know if all of them would just be smart enough not to do entrances anymore.
Yes.
I mean, that would be hilarious. Or just everyone comes in through the crowd or something weird.
I would say descend from the rafters, but like Sting, that was Sting's thing, and obviously the Owen Hart thing is like, eh, how about we just don't do that? Like, it's not necessary, so.
Well, it's still one of those ones to me that I'm like, how many people bungee cord every day of the year? And for some reason, they couldn't figure out a rig for an arena.
No, I know. But it's like, it's still, I don't know, what year was it? 97? 98?
Yeah, some one
That
of those two
happened.
years, yeah.
And it's still like, like, god damn. Especially when we were at BWs. BW3, whatever, B dubs.
Oh, I was
We were
not
all like,
there for that one.
you weren't there with that?
No, because I believe that took place during the summer, and I watched, not watched on pay-per-view in Altoona.
Oh, I could have swore we went back to your place after that. That's how drunk we were, and then quickly sobered up. Like that was a sobering moment. Like, what did they just say? So, and that's why, like, even, and again, it was that long ago. Like, even during the Super Bowl, they got that poor pregnant Rihanna on those platforms in that like thin tinsel wire or tinsel wire, not tinsel. And it's like, do we really need to be doing this? Like.
That one, I'm like, she signed up for it. So yeah, sure. If she wants to do that, have at
I
it.
guess, yeah, but still,
She
I
really
don't think
could
she was
have.
pregnant when she decided to sign up for it, though. Like, that's still a bad idea. put in a pregnant lady on a floating platform that was clearly moving with every footstep. That's smart. That's
hey,
smart.
It was. I enjoyed it. I thought that was a pretty sweet ass set. So.
Yes, the set was cool. Everything else about it was bad. So, and please, please, I'm tired of hearing people just be like, "No, it's amazing." No, it's not. No, it wasn't. So.
It's just not rigged for sound properly is what it comes down to. It's kind of like when bands used to play at wrestling shows. The arena just isn't set up quite the same way to take advantage of the acoustics.
Nor do the people want to see them.
Well, and that too.
What was his name? Hardy?
Hardy, yes.
That was Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
This show's going on forever. Hey, don't forget, Hardy's coming out. Oh, Jeff Hardy's coming back? No, just Hardy. What? Yeah. And then whatever that monstrosity of a song that was played. Poor acoustics, poor lip syncing, poor whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that was up there with an all-time bad a performance. Because, I mean, even people that I feel like I like and think that they are actual good musicians have not sounded good on wrestling programs.
No, not at all.
You know?
That's a gift. Because, what was it? Saturday Night Live notoriously is a horrible soundstage for music.
Oh. Yes.
That's why everyone sucks on there. So, and it's like, Vince McMahon at the time was like, yep, I'll show you. Well, I guess Hardy wasn't Vince McMahon, but still.
Yeah, blame it on Vince.
Yeah. But no, it's like, but. Okay, so anyways, we're talking about Ring of Honor. but yeah, like, Eddie Kingston quit AEW, he's in Ring of Honor. You see, the tag team match has got all AEW guys. And it's like, well, are we really establishing a Ring of Honor crew, or is it just we need to take AEW guys to fill this Ring of Honor thing? Like, I think it's been on, 5-6 weeks now on Honor Club.
Oh, okay.
And it's getting no play, it's getting no buzz, so...
I don't know how many people... really pay attention to it. Like, it's just not something that I need. I don't really need that much more wrestling time at this point. You know, I mean, we've talked about that a lot too. Like, you've really got to wow me to, or have somewhat easy access to your product. And maybe that's the main thing, is that I don't want to pay another, is it $5 a month?
Or I really don't know. I didn't even look into it.
Okay. So. Well, it's at least $5. Nothing's lower than $5. So let's start the bar there. but I guess I still don't even think that I'll get the $5 worth out of it. And I don't know if I feel like, oh, yeah, I'm really supporting these guys by just subscribe. I mean, I guess you are supporting those guys and girls on that roster if you subscribe, even if you don't watch. But also seems like a waste of money.
Dude, there are so many shows tomorrow. This is crazy.
Oh, in Los Angeles there?
Yeah, what a great time. Well, Bloodsport's already done. I'm trying to find Ring of Honor, but I guess FTR is hosting a show tonight. Yeah, interesting. Alright, so, that's stupid. I looked up the wrong thing.
Yeah, you were waiting for Ring of Honor stuff. You got back to Ring of Honor and then completely untracked from Ring of Honor.
Yeah,
again.
No, I started looking up, I looked up the wrong thing, and I got stuck on Fight looking at all the different shows. So,
well, that is the one that I get. I haven't done that yet, but I do almost feel like I should switch a subscription to Fight TV Because AIW really was the only promotion that I was watching. And I still have a hard time with the, what is that? The live feed on IWTV. Yeah, it's just like, well, if your live feed sucks, like, why am I getting this product?
Okay, my laptop's acting weird, so whatever. I don't know how much Honor Club is. So, it's just doing stuff I'm actually not telling it to do.
Yeah, but honestly, like, even if I did have it, it would be tough. Like, still have had less viewing time maybe than I would prefer. Like, there are some people that I'm like, I don't understand how you're getting through all of this media that you're getting through.
Like, yeah. It is $10 a month for Honor Club. Yeah.
Oof. So. Yeah. That's $5. You might be able to talk me into it. 10. Tough sell, man.
Yeah. And I know it's like, it sounds so cheap to say 10 is a lot. But it's like, because I mean, other apps are more. They just are.
Right.
It's like, yeah, but I'm also getting $10 more on something. So, I guess, like, I don't really, I get Peacock free because I do a Michigan site, so it was offered for free. So, like, all right, cool. Well, that was Paramount, which I've never watched anything on Paramount. I've heard Yellowstone's good. Just never watched it. So... And I saw Top Gun Maverick, so I don't know what else I have.
Oh, yeah, and that was almost going to be something that if I really wanted to derail this show, I was going to mention we can do like an hour on John Wick if we want to go that route.
Listen, I think the easiest thing to say is that's the best action movie I've ever seen, and I've seen The Raid 2, so...
I have not seen The Raid 2, so I do not get the reference.
The worst part about The Raid 2 is the end. Because there's no Raid 3. And the way it ends, you're like, oh my god, the end. And that movie, just insane. It's just crazy. And then you go and see John Wick 4, Chapter 4, excuse me. It's almost all practical effects, or action sequences, excuse me. Yes, there's some CGI, but... The henchman who just continually doesn't die the entire movie. And you're like, oh, he's dead. Here he comes again? Here he comes again? Finally, at the end, when he dies, I go... Oh, fucking finally. Like, holy shit. It reminded me of Statham in one of the Fast and Furious movies where he was introduced.
Oh.
He would just show up, and you're like, oh, goddamn, here he is again. And that was him. And
right.
So that's just like one of it. But, dude, I cannot believe how good that movie was. And I've loved all of them. So...
Yeah. It's always, it feels like expectations are usually higher in my head for a lot of movies than they end up coming out when I actually view them. And I was just, I was like you, like, I'm like, oh my god, like, they did just enough exposition to get you from point A to point B, and then there was like 45 minutes of action after that.
What really I enjoyed was the attention to detail. And by the way, the movie's absurd, so it's and that's fine.
Oh, yes, completely absurd.
They're fighting, and they're using the jackets. So I'm like, how are they not? I was like, oh, that's right. The suits are like armor.
Yes.
And I totally forgot, and I was like, oh, that's right. And then they had all the different costumes, different settings. You had a little bit of, like, chop sake. Kung Fu movies, then you had just straight action pieces, you had, like, martial arts, my favorite part was the end, spoilers, whatever, but they're...
Yeah, we can put a disclaimer well before anyone listens to this.
This really isn't a spoiler, I guess, except for like it's a funny moment, but he gets to the bottom of the stairs. He looks up. He's like, all right. Makes his way up, whatever else, and then he falls. He's kicked down. And I go, he's going to fall all the way back down. Like, I knew he was going to get knocked back down a little bit.
Right.
But then they even teased you a little bit. So he'd hit, like, the flat.
Yeah, and he'd stop.
And then right back down. And he gets up and looks, and he's like... And you see, and the, like, the crowd in my movie theater actually went, oh, like, oh, my God, he's got to do this all over again. Then he gets help, and it's one of those movies where the side characters that are introduced don't chew up the scenery. They actually do enhance the movie, and it makes you want to know more about them.
Oh.
Which is, I thought, was just awesome. Mr. Nobody? Yes. The guy's daughter, was it her name actually Akira?
Yes, Akira.
All right, cool, nice touch. and then I can't remember the blind guy's name. I'm drawing a blank.
Kane.
I want to know more about all these guys. And now that they say they may make, like, offshoots or, you know, whatever movies with them, I'm like, that's how you do it. That's what I've always been complaining about. They didn't tell you they were awesome. They just showed up, and they were awesome. And, like, Mr. Nobody, I want to know more about him. Why does he use that goofy gun? Why is he always dressed in the same way with that big-ass backpack? Why was he waiting for it to be $40 million? Why is that dog there that's seemingly indestructible, thank God?
Yeah, that was one in our theater. I was just like, oh, when the bad guy that would not die was aiming at the dog, I'm like, John Wick does not tolerate this stuff. He does not tolerate violence against dogs.
Yeah, when he shot the guy instead of him, I was like, the crowd was like, yes! Except for when the dog got thrown into the car. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, they just killed another dog in these movies? The dog just jumps up, and the whole crowd's like, yeah! Starts attacking people. Like, but that's what I'm talking about. They didn't tell you. They weren't like going, this dog's really special, this dog's really smart, all this bullshit. If it was a Marvel movie, that dog would have been flying through space, and everyone would have been like in awe of it, going, I want to be just like that dog. Like, okay, no. But in this, they just introduce it, and you're like, okay, cool. So, yeah, I want to know more about these people.
Oh.
Like, there's just so much to these movies that even though it's seemingly over, that apparently I don't know if it's over now because it did so much money, they're like, we have to make another one. It's like, no, you don't. You've set up enough people in this world.
Oh.
That you can do little spinoffs, offshoots, whatever you want to do. And I think people will readily accept it.
Yeah, that was one of the first things that I texted to you. I'm like, because I don't know why I left out. I feel bad for leaving out Mr. Nobody, honestly. Because I mentioned Kane and Akira. I'm like, I'm good with just those two being in their own movies. Like, and yeah, Mr. Nobody on that list too, also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just impressive. It's impressive writing because of its lack of dialogue and lack of writing. Like, the writing went into, like, the Bible that they had for this stuff. So, like, you know, the Bible is for all the shows. You know, it's like, alright, this is what this is. So this guy is this, this guy is this, this girl is this. You follow these. You can do whatever you want with them, but this is the law.
Oh.
So they're like, alright, so this is the mythology. You have to follow this. And just fantastic. The intricate storytelling, which... I mean, I know we were talking about Ring of Honor and AEW, but whatever, because it's not their weekend. we were just out at Lower Left, and Joe from Sugar Creek was out. And he was like, what are you doing this weekend? I go, nothing, it's WrestleMania weekend. So Saturday's supposed to rain, so I'll be watching NXT, rather than all this, and then he's like, you're really into that, huh? I was like, yeah, I'm not embarrassed at all. I go, they have long-term storytelling that actually pays off. And I brought up, and that's, I'm not sure if you and Chris talked about it or not, but the Rey Mysterio stuff that was getting long in the tooth, to be dead serious about that, like, okay, is he ever going to do something?
I guess I was good with the length that it went.
The thing is, it became the same thing for a few weeks, or a few interactions.
Yeah.
They were doing it every show for like 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, they could have skipped a show or two.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, so that's why I texted you, there were two holy shit moments on SmackDown. And so I was telling Joe, I was like, yeah, so they had this, you know, Rey Mysterio, he knew who Rey Mysterio was. So his son Dominic wrestles now, and it started off as like a father-son thing, then of course it's wrestling, so Dominic had to turn on him. I go, this has been going on for 2 years. And Dominic keeps trying to bait his dad into a match. He wants to fight his dad won't do it. And he finally disrespects his mom. And Ray just comes up and punches the bitch in the face. And I was like, I was watching, I'm like, oh, here comes Ray. He's gonna back down. And he just straight punches Dominic, and I legitimately popped and yelled, holy shit. And it was so, like, I didn't even hear the crowd reaction until we rewound it. That was so satisfying. Satisfying.
Like, yeah, that crowd erupted when he finally punched him.
And then it was so exciting to see. Like, they're paying it off. And then I go on, like, so WWE obviously is making a big deal of it. Like, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. And there are people bitching. Oh, about time. Whoa, this took too long. Whoa, about time you did. It was boring. I'm like, you ungrateful assholes. Like, this is a great storyline. The mom cheered her son getting punched in the face by his dad. What do you want?
Yeah, that's one where I'm like, do you really like wrestling?
Yeah. Like, do you not understand what wrestling has always been? Yeah, so that was great. And then the other pop moment was Gunther and Pete Dunne, or Butch, whatever. He goes, he says something to Sheamus, or says something to Ridge, and he goes, what's your problem? And he leaps on him like a spider monkey, and they just start fighting. I was like, what the fuck happened? It was great. Gunther is so good. I don't think his persona gets enough credit. He doesn't back down. So, like, he was like, I'll take you out. What do you want? And it's like, it's a play on the, you know, fuck you, you're cool, fuck you. Yeah, I love that segment. Just that was a legit pop when he jumped on him. And then Gunther takes that table and just throws it over the top rope. I was like, hey, buddy.
Like, the one thing that hit me, I'm like, the crowds are a little bit closer than they used to be, dude.
Yeah, this isn't NXT where it's behind glass, buddy. Yeah, that was nuts. And the thing is how easily he lifted that thing. That's a table. I don't care if it's made to break apart or whatever.
Oh.
Try picking up your kitchen table and just throwing it behind you over a rope. You ain't doing it. Yeah, that was great. So, and I know it was last Friday, whatever, but it was still so great. But it's like, it's a like a long-term storytelling. I also liked how Gunther just got in Adam Pearce's face. He's like, justify this decision because he's right.
Well, he shouldn't have. I guess the problem that I have with it is that they did the dump. Imperium did the dump thing and jumped them during a match. That's where Gunther lost the. He got away with that complaint early in this. That, you know, it's just like, hey, it's just one challenger here. You know, like, he really did make a good point of that, and that's the I'm sorry, that's just wrestling tradition, too. If you interfere in a challengers match, you end up with two challengers, and it's your fault.
Yeah, because I was like, you know, why wouldn't he just restart the match or something like that? But I just loved how his anger, he never got an answer. So he kind of just kicked himself over again.
Yeah, but I mean, that is the heel thing to do, of course, too. Yeah. That's still the right reaction for him to have at this moment.
Yeah, but no, that's good stuff. Then Monday, more good stuff. And it's like, and I know we say this all the time, but it's like WrestleMania writing is just different. Everybody's got something going on. Even like this Omos Brock Lesnar stuff, which I don't think is going to be a very good match, but it's at least got some intrigue. Brock is selling for Omos.
Yeah.
Which is like, what? So, not something we're used to seeing. So, all right, there's a little bit of intrigue there. Edge and Finn Balor, I got no clue what's going on here. Edge is talking about the, like, Gangrel supposedly going to be there.
I saw that bit of news, and I'm just like, oh man, let this happen. He obviously started that whole thing, and Edge definitely has used that entrance before. I still love it though, so fucking go for it again.
Is still one of the greatest entrances ever. That music, them coming up from the Ring of Fire and stuff.
Yeah,
that was awesome. I was like, it's a shame they got rid of him, so they broke him up so quick. That was stupid. But whatever.
Yeah.
But no, it was like seemingly everyone's got something. Ray and Dominic are going somewhere. Sammy and Kevin and the Usos, they turned that around quick.
Oh. Just,
yeah. No one's talking about Sammy and Roman anymore.
Well, and they handed the baton off, too, just on top of it with, what's his name? With Cody. In the whole situation, being friends with both Kevin and Sammy and saying, hey, this is like a team effort to get the bloodline down here. Like, I can't do this one on my own. No one can.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was pretty, the writing's been pretty brilliant for them.
I'm trying to figure out, like, well, Charlotte Rhea, I guess, is the exception. That's just such a weird... It's just such a weird build for them.
Yeah. But both of the women's matches have been strange builds. The women's singles matches have been strange builds.
Yeah, because no one wants to hate Asuka.
Yep.
Like, people legitimately like Bianca. So that's just kind of weird. Like... Okay.
Yeah, honestly, the Rhea not going after Bianca, I'm glad that she has at least acknowledged the fact that she decided not to go after her. And she, you know, has said, and I'm fine also with this, where I have my reasons. You know, whatever. Don't ever state them if you don't need to, honestly. That's definitely a heel thing to do. So, I mean, they're trying to cover their tracks. Still not if Rhea challenges Bianca, then, you know, you find some way for Asuka to challenge Charlotte.
Yeah. Well, all right, so the thing is, Charlotte's established. Asuka has a built-in revenge motive. So does Rhea. The problem is, Rhea's a heel. So, she wants to beat the face Charlotte for messing her up 2 years ago. And it's like, well, I don't care, you're a bad guy. But it seemingly it's turned because no one's booing Rhea anymore. And Charlotte was getting wanted and booed on SmackDown. Like,
people love to... Chris and I definitely talked about this. Charlotte's in just such a weird spot in her career. Like, she doesn't seem to be able to be relevant without having a championship belt. The best thing for her to not have, though, to keep her fresh, is a championship belt. Like, she hasn't changed her character at all. The whole, and that was the big conclusion that him and I came to. Like, Becky and Bailey have both changed characters.
Yeah.
And she hasn't. Like, it's the same character. Face, heel, doesn't really honestly matter what side of the fence she's on.
Yeah, and like that was like such a weird thing when she came back and beat Ronda. It's like, why am I supposed to cheer for her? Like, there's just something about Charlotte people don't like. Maybe it's like the entitlement to use that because she's Ric Flair's daughter, so she's always winning. You know, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but the crowd just doesn't like her. They respond far easier, and with far more gusto to boo her than ever to cheer for her.
Yeah, at some point she really gets she'll get the cheers on her return, like she, you know, just did. But then all of a sudden, you know, it's, you're tired of her already. But I'm still gonna say something that part of her problem, at least on SmackDown, is that the women's division on SmackDown is just a train wreck.
It doesn't have to be, though. I think that's the problem.
Because and it's been a train wreck since. Because that was one of the reasons Rousey's title reign was pretty terrible, honestly.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
She just had nothing to work with. And it's just like, I'm sorry, to be great, you at least need something good on the other side. Maybe you don't need great, but you at least need good. And that's the problem with, again, with SmackDown. Like, as much as I like Shotzi, she hasn't been established at all on the main roster. You know?
No, not at all.
And I know that she's had, you know, there was the dad's dying issue either last year or a couple of years ago at this point, and there's been some injuries and whatnot. So there are some reasons why things didn't happen, but...
Well, I mean, also, like, Raquel...
Oh.
Rodriguez, right?
I think so.
It was a Gonzalez. God damn it. Anyways.
Yeah, I don't remember really which one it is now.
To establish her. She was a badass in NXT. She was the biggest girl, which I believe she still is. So why, like, and yes, I'm going to bitch about it again. She's always smiling like a fucking serial killer. Stop it. No one's that happy. Like, and then she, like, puts on the frowny face like she used to always carry. And it was like, cool. All right, that's the badass bitch I want to see. You know? No, she didn't call herself that. That was somebody else, right? Eh, whatever. So...
Yeah, she did not call herself the badass bitch.
Who's the baddest bitch in the room? Oh, that's Jay Cargill, right?
Yeah, well, I was going to say that the formation of words is a little bit different for Miss Cargill there.
Okay. Oh, no, she's that bitch. That's what it is. Oh, okay. All right, so anyway.
Yeah.
Then you have Liv Morgan, who was like the sweet girl character. Now she's supposed to be the crazy extreme girl?
Yep.
Okay, sure. The most obvious one is Shayna Baszler. How is she not running through people the way she did in NXT, especially with Triple H taking over? Like, that should have been priority one. Oh, no problem. I gotcha. Like... Make her like the murderer of the women.
No.
And then talking about the train wreck, it doesn't have to be. You've already got it established. You got Crazy Liv, you got Sloppy Crazy Shotzi, Badass and Raquel, Super Badass and Shayna, Charlotte, who's just the queen, you know, technically the best one, whatever you want to go with.
I guess that's part of the problem. Ronda did wrestle all of them.
Yes.
And defeated them pretty soundly, which did not help anyone involved. You know, like, I guess I didn't really expect Ronda to be taking that L. But it also isn't a, you know, like, they've got to kind of fight amongst themselves first to establish some type of pecking order.
Yeah.
But they just kept on getting thrown against Ronda. And that kind of caused its own problems.
Yeah. Wait, is Zelina Vega on SmackDown as well? Yeah, she is, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's with El Legado. That's right.
Yeah.
So then you could have had her. And I know she's small, so you really got to suspend your disbelief with her. But also, she can be like the sneaky tiny one that just surprises you. You know, that character's been around forever. So that could be her. You know, like, you know, was it David and Goliath with her and Raquel, say? You know, just something like that. You have options. They just don't use it. Which is very strange, because the women on Raw are a tad different, I guess. But
Raw is so deep that everyone, at least the ladies that are on the main roster full time, are all on Raw. Four of them, you know, like four good wrestlers are on Raw. Now, I guess at least two of them, Io Sky and Dakota Kai, still kind of have their main roster problems, I would say.
Yeah.
They got to tote around the women's tag team championships. I still don't feel like they did a terribly large amount with them.
Well, they didn't help. Dakota got hurt.
Yeah, so that was a bit of a problem.
Yeah, I mean, where the one can't go, it does kind of put a, you know,
a damper on things.
Thank you. That's not what I was going for, but whatever.
Yeah. Missing link in the armor, if you want to go the PC route.
Missing link in the armor doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah. Chain link.
Well, yeah, but that would be a hole. A chink in it means there's a weak spot, not a hole. Right? Isn't that what a chink in the armor means?
I always assumed it was a flaw in the armor somewhere, yes.
Okay, so that makes sense. Well, all right, I see what you're doing.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
What does chink in the armor mean, anyways? You know, it's always funny.
It used as an actual term at the time being. I do think that that was the actual term for, like, the shape.
No, you're right. The idiom chink in one's armor refers to area of vulnerability, traditionally been used to refer to weak spot in a figurative suit of armor. So,
yeah.
I guess a hole would be a weak spot, huh?
Yep.
Okay. And, of course, I put chink in the armor, so it gives me the definition. And the next thing is ESPN. I was like, God damn, I forgot all about that. So, but yeah, so it's like that. But, like, so the women's stuff has that goofy storytelling. And I think everybody else has something positive. Like, even the showcase tag team matches, that's got something going for it. They've done a pretty good job of building that up.
Now, that was something we didn't talk about, Chris and I didn't talk about, because we kind of blew over them. Because in some ways I don't care, but in other ways it was pretty hilarious how they paid off the whole Chelsea Green situation of her being a nuisance since the Royal Rumble, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she finally won her first match. That's crazy. She's been, what, two times now in WWE and NXT, and she never won? I was like, wait, what?
I did not realize she had never... Well, I guess I'm not completely surprised. She was one. Didn't she get called up to the main roster and, like, separated her shoulder immediately?
No, she broke her wrist.
Oh, broke her wrist.
Yes. And then I think she broke the other one. And then she was pulling the fake broken wrist thing now. Like, I don't think it was actually hurt at all. I think that was just for the indies. So, but yeah, or it was, she was an Impact, I guess. But yeah, no, they finally paid it off, and I actually don't mind that team, her and Sonya Deville, because why they're not using Sonya doesn't make any sense. Like, she had that cool gimmick, like, put your hair up and square up.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Outside the ring, she's like ultra feminine and whatever else, right? And then you get in the ring, she can beat your ass. As soon as that hair goes up. And they tried to play with that when she was on, like, in management. You know, she was wearing the suit, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I like Sonya. I've always liked Sonya Deville. And just seemingly missed opportunity.
Well, that's one where, just in general, I don't know if they'll do it. But the women's tag, they still have enough women on the main roster to have, what, four teams active at a time, I would say? So, yeah, I mean, sometimes do like you do with the men. Hey, if you don't, if two of these ladies don't have something better to do at the current moment and you want to cool them off from the championship, the, you know, main championship scene.
Well, it's even like, because we're forgetting, like, Piper Niven's there. Oh. Nikki Cross, who hasn't been seen for a little while.
Yep.
You know, there's still plenty of them. So, yeah, and like a Piper and Nikki Cross real team, like Crazy Nikki and a Piper Niven, would be pretty sweet. You know, I like Piper Niven. I'm glad they made her back. Well, first, change her name back. So, and then just let her do her stuff. So, you know, it'll work.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so no, it's like everything at this time of year just came together. And I know, like, the payoff for Roman and Cody, that's pretty amazing. The short amount of time, how they turned it around. And, like, the whole Bloodline story, and now, I guess, you know, everyone's going to be hyped up because The Rock may be there now, which is kind of a dick move on his part, but also a smart move, you know, gets him some attention, too. Especially in wrestling, no one talks bad about Rock for wrestling.
Oh, so. No. He is definitely... wrestling royalty, no matter what ends up happening.
Yeah. So, I'm legitimately looking forward to this weekend. Even Stand and Deliver. I think that could be a lot of fun. So...
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I got pretty excited watching... watching NXT this week. I don't think I'm necessarily going to watch that live. I'll still have to figure out, honestly, when I'll fit that in. I know that I'm watching Night 1 live of WrestleMania. Well, and Night 2, but... yeah, daytime it might be reserved for some alcohol consumption, and I might not end up watching it.
Wait, what night is alcohol consumption? Night 1?
No, day 1.
It's supposed to rain here in Charlotte, so I've already said, you want to go do something, go. I'm watching wrestling all weekend. I don't care. There's like, everyone has their thing. So, like, they were talking about holding a draft party for the Panthers at the gym. I was like, why? So you can see them waste their pick on CJ Stroud? Are you fucking crazy? Like, no. Like, I'm not going to watch that. So, I'm like, this is my thing. That's what I was, go back
that,
to when I was talking to Joe.
Is that next weekend?
No, see, it's the end of April.
Oh, end of April.
But they're already planning it now.
Oh, okay. Like,
it's like, guys, I'm a Lions fan. It's loser shit to be planning a draft party because you have the number one draft pick. Because you're going to have a high draft pick for a while unless you trade them.
Well, considering that they just traded for it, I really doubt that the... that they're going to give it up now.
No. They're going to blow it on the bad quarterback from Ohio State. So I can't wait for that to not work. And I don't even like... I don't dislike the Panthers. I cheer for them when I go to the games. But, no. A guy who has a 75% completion rate when there's no pressure on him, and it drops to 46% when there's pressure on him. Nah, that's all right. So anyways, And nobody to throw to. That's another big problem with the Panthers. But anyways,
He was definitely spoiled with some quality wide receivers.
Well, you think? You know, the one year where didn't three Ohio State wide receivers go in the first round, first and second round of the draft? One guy was hurt and got drafted. So, or is that this year? One of the guys that declared because he was hurt almost all year, right?
Oh, yeah. Jackson Smith and Jigba did not play any, yeah, he might have played a little bit, but, yeah, not very much, honestly.
Yeah. So it's like, okay. But anyways, this is my thing. So it's like, yes, I will watch the three-hour show, and I have a few-hour break between before WrestleMania starts. And it does it start at 7, or is that the goddamn pre-game or pre-show?
I feel like the pay-per-views have generally started at 8.
We're going to be up to 1 o'clock on Sunday, which is fine. I mean,
well, it's right now, if things... Oh, I wonder if the Wikipedia entry updated, because I believe I saw Stephen A. Smith was supposed to be announcing what the actual matches were on each night today on his his show.
WWE just put them up on their Instagram account.
I saw Bailey tweet something there. Because they did fix it on Wikipedia here to actually be two different nights. Yeah, more than happy that they decided to move the women's championship matches to opposite nights.
Well, they had. I mean, they have to do that. That's ridiculous.
Chris reminded me that they did not do that last year, that they had them on the same night.
Oh, my God. They were both night one?
Yeah.
Who was the...
Because... It was that Becky and Bianca was the main event.
Who was the...
Oh, for crying out. You're going to make me look it up here now.
SmackDown. Was it Charlotte? Was it Ronda? Goddamn, I don't remember now.
Let me see if he was fibbing or not.
They showed a picture of what the... here we go. Yeah, so...
Becky, Bianca... Oh, Bianca and Becky, and then Charlotte and Ronda.
Okay.
Yep, night one.
Okay. Yeah, so night one. So Saturday is Austin Theory and John Cena. Charlotte Flair, Rhea Ripley, Usos versus Zayn and Kevin Owens. Becky Lynch, Lita, Trish Stratus, Damage Control, Rollins versus Logan Paul, Rey Mysterio, Dominic, and then the tag team match. So, I don't know. Like, they can't possibly be putting Cena and Theory in the main event.
No. That's the only match that they said is actually... That's the first match, for sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they've actually said that that's the opener.
Okay. Yeah, then the next night is Roman, Cody, Bianca, Asuka, Gunther, Sheamus and McIntyre, Finn Balor, Edge, Lesnar, Omos, and then the women's tag team showcase match. So there's less matches on Sunday, which means, goddamn, there are going to be some bangers. That Gunther, Drew McIntyre, Sheamus match, that's going to be idiotic. I mean, you saw what Gunther and Sheamus did. Then you add Drew McIntyre, who legitimately, him and Sheamus are best friends, and they beat the hell out of each other all the time. You add Gunther into that, oh my God.
Yes, it's between that triple threat match and Seth Rollins and Logan Paul for best match of the weekend before the weekend happens.
You think? I don't know.
Logan Paul has crushed it with everyone else, and Seth Rollins is one of the best wrestlers in wrestling currently. So, yeah, high expectation. I mean, Logan Paul even had a memorable moment at the Royal Rumble with him and Ricochet colliding.
Yeah, that was really cool.
I mean, that guy...
Which is bad, because didn't Apollo Crews and... Oh, god damn it. He's only main eventing Stand and Deliver with Braun. Carmelo Hayes. Didn't they do the same thing? Was that Axiom? Carmelo Hayes and someone did the same. Oh, no. It was Carmelo Hayes and Ricochet. Excuse me. They did the same thing, but no one talks about that. Logan Paul and Ricochet do it, and everyone talks about it.
I guess I didn't. When did they do that?
It was during, was it a ladder match or something like that, or... It was on NXT.
Oh, okay.
So, but no, I don't know, man. Because night one, honestly, I think the Usos and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens is going to take that. I think the story involved, and then it's those four crazy dudes. I don't know. I'm not disagreeing about Rollins and Logan Paul, by the way. I'm just saying, that's sharing that card, that match.
The tag team match should be very... that was something else, too, even with the ladies. Even though, I like the hype videos on Raw this week. So, I'll mention that again. So, that did make it feel like it was a little bit better, honestly, the women, both women's championship matches heading into this whole thing. Even though I don't think the hype's been good for either of them, matches are going to be great. Like, Charlotte and Rhea are both very good at their jobs, and so are Bianca and Asuka. So, I'm going to expect quality matches no matter what ends up storyline happened for those people involved. But
you know, I was going to say, like, wouldn't it be easier to pick the weakest match? But I'm looking at this stuff going, well, okay, I guess the easy target is Lesnar and Omos, right? Or Omos? That's the easy target for, like, weakest match. But
yeah,
if it's just two big dudes beating the hell out of each other, that's okay.
And if it's a five-minute match, also okay.
Right, because, I mean, Lesnar, since he's come back, outside of a few, obviously, he treats them like MMA fights, which gets everyone mad.
Oh, like, right.
Heavyweight matches don't go long.
No. No. I was actually quite fine with the fact that I did not get that. I was half tempted to watch, see what Jon Jones did at heavyweight.
Did he obliterate the guy?
He won with, like, a rear naked choke in, like, a minute. I'm just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that freak, and then you put more muscle on him? Okay, yeah, what's going to happen? So, I wish I followed UFC and MMA the way I used to. But when they put it behind the paywall on ESPN, I was like, sorry, I'm out.
Yeah, oh, well, and what is it? It's... I think Steve Williams tweeted it, like, he saw the sticker shock of getting one of those pay-per-views now, and is just like $80, I think, or something like that. I'm just guys, because I have ESPN Plus, but you've still got to pay for, like, that gets you whatever the discount, you know, whatever the monthly rate is. At least that's the way it used to be, is you get the monthly rate off the pay-per-view cost. But still, even though I'm paying for ESPN Plus, what, if it is only $75 maybe, that still gets me, what, $15 off? So it's still $60 for the pay-per-view.
Yeah, like, that's crazy. That's like boxing. Remember boxing events used to be $100, $150,
And
your main event would go like 7 seconds. Like, that's the old Mike Tyson days.
Like, yeah,
that's just crazy. So, yeah, but no, that's definitely not worth it. Like, and I thought it was a bad idea for popularity. But then it was like, all right, well, you know, whatever.
Yeah, so, that's one where I'm like, I guess this makes you more money. Have fun.
Well, it really kind of is with the guaranteed money.
Well, yeah, that's one where I'm like, I assume that people are making those decisions with their own interests in mind. So, you know, but yeah, I'm with you. Like, I really have not watched the UFC almost at all since it went to ESPN. There have been a handful of fights where I'm like, oh, I'm kind of interested to see what happens here. And that was one of the few ones recently that that I did think about, but I'm like, oh god. But to get back to, yeah, Lesnar treats his fights like real fights, and that's just completely fine. And that's why it's good. At worst, that match is just going to be fine. You know what I mean? Like, I don't expect that to be a disaster. Almost had a fairly decent match with Braun Strowman.
I'd say he had a good match with Braun Strowman. Like, that's what I was getting at.
Oh, yeah.
You've just got two big dudes beating on each other. The end. Like, that's not my wheelhouse anyways. You know, it's, I will never forget, like, Big E talking about, just like, you know, he wanted to fight Goldberg. That was his main thing. He was like, just two big meaty men slapping meat. And if you've never seen the clip, it's hilarious. So, like, he's joking about, like, you want your five-star classics? Not me. I want to slap meat. Like, Biggie's awesome, and hopefully he gets to come back. He's been gone a long time.
Oof, yeah. The longer he stays gone, the more I feel like it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Unless it's like, oh, 7 years down the line, Biggie comes back as a 45-year-old.
Yeah. Still looking jacked as fuck, too. You're like, oh, oh
yeah. He's going
to
be completely ripped still.
Off to get that way. Sure. That's all it takes. But I keep going back and forth through these cards, right? And usually we do like a preview show. Thank God we're not. It's just, there's really nothing weak. And I'm sure someone said, what about John Cena and Austin Theory? Okay.
That match, honestly, might be one of the worst, just because John Cena did not really work the tag team match.
No, he did not.
So I don't even know if you can say that he got his feet wet in the ring again. And I... It's still weird. This whole thing's still been weird to me. I don't like it for I didn't like it for Austin Theory, honestly.
No.
Like I thought that he was getting his footing beneath him. I don't think that the way they even presented him did him any favors this week with the empty arena promo. I'm like,
it's okay, so I'm with you. It wasn't something we expected, so maybe that's why. But also, the way they're moving people around, like, Edge and Finn didn't show up on the show either. So it's almost like, hey, you have appearances you got to get out to L.A. for. And then, well, they were in Vegas, though, weren't they?
Arizona, I want to say.
All right, close enough.
Yeah. So, They were not far from, they were fairly close. They have done a fairly good job of not trying to overextend travel for their talent.
Yeah. But it's like, for me, I'm wondering if they're like, hey, we got this appearance, you guys got to go. And you weren't really needed on the show, so peace out. You know, like, Edge didn't need to be there. I mean, for a live audience wanting to see him, obviously. But, you know. Unless they'll appear after the show, and I'm just talking out my ass. But, you know. So I didn't mind it, but the whole thing just made him look bad.
Yeah.
Growing that ratty-ass beard. Hey, trim up. That's gross. It's gross.
Well, and it's not like he has a nice, thick beard or anything.
Exactly. Yeah. You're too good-looking of a young dude to be doing that to yourself. So, cut it out. Shave it back down so that you do look like a young John Cena, like everyone was saying, comparing you to. And that's where we get the parallels, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
So, yeah, that one could be the worst match just because Cena isn't in ring shape. And what, The Rock injured himself in damn near every match that he came back for?
Yeah.
So, I'm just going to say that maybe that was a precautionary lesson for John Cena.
Yeah.
You know, he's not in bad shape, but is he in ring shape? Probably not.
Yeah, but it's also like Cena, and this isn't a slight, he never went crazy in the ring.
Yeah. Oh.
So... Yeah. Maybe, like, the soft offense everyone calls him out for will actually help him out in this case. But also, who knows? He's a pro. You know, he always... Sorry, I have the news on, and I wish I could hear what they're talking about. In North Carolina, there's a participation trophy ban. Okay, so anyway,
I have family with children, and not once have I been told that someone brought home a participation trophy.
Yeah, I don't...
So that's confusing to me, and they live in various and sundry states, so it's not even just Ohio.
It's just the coach of a high school. Man, I hate the news. Anyway, so John Cena and Austin Theory should be good. It's so defeating to see how dumb things are.
Well, that's why I don't pay attention.
All I wanted to see was the weather. To see if I need to wake up early so I can go for a walk when it's not 30 degrees out. It's the only reason I turned this bullshit on. It's my fault. I can just look on my goddamn phone.
Yep.
I'm an idiot.
Weather Channel app. So. Of course, the Weather Channel app also tries to get me to buy their programming on their app. And I'm like, no, I don't need this super insider on the fucking weather. Just,
yeah.
I
just pulled up Google. I was like, oh, it's 58 degrees right now. Let's see what tomorrow morning is going to be.
I need temperature range and whether it's going to precipitate or not. Yeah. We good? Okay, that's the... Great, thanks.
Do you want the Super Insight with a Doppler 4 radar? Shut up.
No.
It's fucking nonsense. We've got Super Doppler 4. What's that even mean? Like, it's just the name of the guy who invented it, right? Or woman? I don't even know who invented it. I don't care.
Yeah, it's just better. If it's the next version up, it's probably better.
Yeah, I guess. Sometimes you update your app and they suck. So anyways, but WrestleMania is looking like...
I suppose we got the WrestleMania proper. We definitely steered the ship a little off of complimenting Stand and Deliver and then talking about WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, true. But Stand and Deliver, no, like the... They pulled the rug on us, or pulled the wool over our eyes, and making us think that Briggs and Jensen were going to get in as a four-way. I thought that was pretty clever. Well, if you guys win, you get to be in the match. Oh, okay. Oh, they lost. Oh, nice. All right.
That is one of those, I guess you were talking about the long-term story. I did think that was kind of curious that Josh Briggs looked a little put off by the situation.
Well, when she kissed him?
After she kissed him. After she kissed Brooks.
Jensen. I thought that was more like, oh, god damn it. Like, she's just ruining him.
I thought that you were the one that came up with the theory that they're in cahoots.
I know. That's, yeah.
So that's, and because you put that thought into my head, I'm just like, oh, Briggs looks like he's a little annoyed that his woman is kissing someone else, even if it's to cover up this whole championship situation. Because, yeah. And I mean, I guess I can, when Fallon Henley, this probably needs to happen after Fallon Henley and Kiana James lose the championships. Because if they have whatever the story is behind this come out before that happens, it's just one of those, they should may as well forfeit the belts kind of situation. Because even if it isn't, even if that was not jealousy on Briggs' part, there's still more story to be told there.
Yeah, and we're probably just making too much of it, but it's also just fun. So,
it's an enjoyable wrestling angle. Like,
right.
It's professional wrestling.
Yeah. And that's really, like, we kind of forget. So, yeah. And that's what that is. The whole Axiom getting into the title match, I thought that was really good. It kind of seemed like he was going to anyways. But they still, you know, they made you think, oh, well.
Yeah, they made him jump through some hoops to get there.
Yeah. So... But no, like, NXT was good. Like, oh. Melo and Braun had their... That whole video package was very good. I kind of want Melo to win, just because he seems to be the more developed character of the two. So it's almost like, all right, he needs to be the guy instead of Braun, because Braun's still one-dimensional. What do we know about him? He likes fishing? Right?
Yep. Likes to fish, likes muscle cars.
Cool. I don't know.
Yeah, it feels like there could be more going on for his personality than they have shown at this point.
Yeah. And I mean having Trick with him too also, you know, is a huge benefit.
That helps, and they've just done more. The barbershop segments have given him more, Carmelo Hayes, more talking time.
Yes.
And more natural setting time, I guess.
Yes. Yep, where Braun just...
He was one, though, that this week I did like the... just because he's definitely presented himself as a sports guy... I liked the whole, hey, this is where you win and lose, and he's, just in a film room watching Carmelo Hayes matches.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's one of those ways that, to me, that's his barber shop.
Okay, and, no, that makes sense.
You know, I guess if they present that more, I would enjoy that. Even if he doesn't, like, that's one of those ones that you've got to walk a fine line, because you can't almost acknowledge the other person's offense or what you think are flaws in some ways on air, you know, but there are ways to work around that. So that would be a good way to do it, but I guess I'm kind of with you. Like, it seems like it's time for Braun not to have the championship and to see what his character does. Like, he's one of the few guys where I could see him getting called up. I could also see them just letting him stew for a little bit longer.
Yeah. I actually didn't mind the team of him and the Creeds.
Oh.
Like, that's like a little powerhouse trio. You know, you can dump Ivy, honestly. She still needs seasoning. The Creeds, they're ready for the main. I mean, I know, like, they're green as hell still, but those characters And being up there with the especially the men's teams they have. I mean, put them in with New Day, which they kind of avoided, didn't they?
Yeah, I think the Creeds were kind of having their... Well, I don't know if Julius was hurt during that time, at least part of that time period. And they were messing around with Indusheer, too.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, just kind of... It doesn't seem like they need to be there, and then, like, the experience on the main roster would help them out more than being down there. I mean, as much as I don't like the Viking Raiders gimmick, they would be a perfect foil.
No.
You know, I like War Machine. I don't really like this Viking Raiders thing. I just don't like it. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it kind of is what it is at this point.
Right.
It seems like it's sticking around.
Yep. Yeah, for as long as they're there.
Yeah.
At least they're being treated seriously, because... Although I did rather enjoy the Street Profits and them, those segments, like during COVID.
Oh. You know,
I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
But it didn't really serve them any good. Street Profits, it made them look good. Like two jokers, whatever else, and they could get serious. So.
Yeah.
And that's, like, real quick to go back to the matches. That men's showcase match for the tag teams, that could be really good. I'm talking really good. Profits, well, I almost said War Machine, Viking Raiders, Braun and Ricochet, and then Braun Strowman and Ricochet, and then,
Alpha Academy.
Thank you. With the current thing going on with Alpha Academy and all this stuff, there's a lot of beef. Like, I want to see Otis and Braun Strowman go at it. Tall, big dude against Boulder. Like,
yeah,
and then add either one of the Viking Raiders because they've beefed up big time. You know? Then you got the Flyers, Ricochet versus Montez. Okay, sure, I'll take that.
Poor Angelo's somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah, he's that. It's not like he's not talented as well. It's just look at your partner.
Oh,
that's not fair.
That, and I mean, what's his, Dawkins is kind of a giant, too. You know, that's the thing that he has going for him, is he's still bigger than even most of the WWE roster.
Yeah, Dawkins is a big dude. It's just, in a land of big dudes, like, there's nothing, I don't want to sound disrespectful, because I do like him.
Yeah.
There's nothing that stands out.
Oh.
So he's got to work on something. And again, maybe get him away from Montez. We'll see it. But how do you, like, if you're a son that's 3/4 the size of the next son next over, you're going to look small and dwarf. While the other one shines so bright. Doesn't mean you're not shining bright, but this bugger over here is taking all the... Take all the attention for good reason. So, I just wanted to say that real quick because I forgot to say it earlier. But,
okay, yeah.
But, yeah, but to stand and deliver, I mean, that the men's tag match on there should be fun. The Wops.
Yeah, that was kind of the most surprising thing. Like you said, like Briggs and Jensen have been enough of a story that I kind of expected them to get into that match. And then they didn't, but I'm kind of okay with it. And their skit the week before with all three of these teams drinking was a lot of fun, too.
Yeah. And I like how they've taken Gallus. When I didn't watch NXT UK, and a lot of people did. So, you know, it's still the same, though.
Yeah.
They were these bruiser bad guys. Now they come to the States, and they're just these two drinking buddies who win. And they're kind of flirtatious and all this stuff. And it's like, because like, weren't they hitting on the, or flirting with the announcer?
I believe they were at least trying to be a bit friendly with Mackenzie Mitchell there, yes.
Yeah, Wolfgang especially. And she's even smiling, like, all right, guys. Like, woo, all right. So it's funny how they took those characters and changed them. So,
yeah,
just tweaked a little, but... No, and then we've got, you know, the 8-person match? No. Yeah, 8-person for the Battle of Chase U. That should be different. You know something weird's going to happen in there.
Yeah, I think we finally get the culmination of the Duke Hudson story, right?
Yeah, it's either in or out. I don't think there's any... God, it would suck if it was still ambiguous.
He's either got to help them win to maintain control of the school, or he just... Well, and I don't think he's going to join the schism, but... him just being completely out on the school would, yeah, I don't know what it'll do for him necessarily.
Okay, so I watched like Figure Four Wrestling during the day, and this could be like an intricate part of a bigger plan, and it takes a little bit of bending. But remember, Kiana James wanted Chase U. So maybe Duke Hudson is actually Sebastian. So he's been plotting with the schism to get the school, and then they get what they want. They get rid of Chase U and give her the land. So just something like that. Like, it's all part of a big plan.
Oh, which, man.
If that's the case, God damn, that is... Long term, that is smart.
Oh, man.
I don't think that's what's going to happen. But if it does, that's really awesome.
Yeah, all credit to them if that ends up being the story.
Yeah, because Duke just kind of comes out of nowhere. You know, it's like, hey, yeah. Don't do this.
Well, yeah, and he's really kind of coasted along as a member of Chase U. Like, every now and again, it seems like he's going to have a beef with Andre Chase and then doesn't really end up having a beef with Andre Chase. It's...
Yeah.
It's been a curious run there for Duke Hudson.
Yeah, but it's also the only time I've ever given a shit about Duke Hudson.
Yes.
So even if it turns out that he is a bad guy... At least now we'll have a legitimate reason to not like him. Because, I mean, before, he liked to play cards. Okay? What else was there? Like, who cares? But this will legitimately be like, you're a dick, man. So.
Yeah. So yeah, that one's going to be the outcome of that one. Yeah. It cuz yeah, I don't want to honestly, I don't want to see this if the schism wins, I hope that is what the outcome comes, cuz I don't really want to see Andre Chase and Thea Hale bowing to their ways. Like
that story
has just been played entirely too many times, and it's just, it's never good.
Yeah, it's not. So, yeah, let's not.
Because what's his name? Cameron Grimes might have been the only one that made that whole servitude gimmick half tolerable.
Yes, because he just didn't. That was a lot of fun because they were hamming it up, and he just purposely was screwing things up. It's like, well, I can be the butler, but I don't have to, like, you know, I'll follow your rules, your directions, but I don't have to, like, do them correctly.
Yeah.
Or this would just be stupid. Like, Joe Gacy's teaching class to everybody. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, this is why, if Duke Hudson does not help them out, I really do hope that a sale is on deck. And we don't get those segments, because that will not make me happy with NXT.
No, that's going to be painful shit. Like, anything without the schism is good. So, it would have been better if they said, you will have the school, or you guys have to break up the schism. You know, something like that.
Oh, yeah. That's the one where I'm like, hold on, I don't understand why the schism has the high ground here.
but that also offers credence to the idea that Duke did it on purpose.
Uh-oh.
You know?
Yeah.
And he's purposely trying to screw things up. So it's like... no, please, God. Like, no. Just what a nightmare that'd be, dude. You know?
Oh, yeah. That would be some painful match.
Yeah. What else? The women's... Was there a tag match?
Yeah,
women's tag match.
Yep. Yeah, because Fallon Henley and Kiana James are defending against the Witches, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. And Alba Fire and Isla Dawn were doing the same gimmick, so I guess, sure, put them together. And Alba Fire wasn't exactly, pun completely intended, and still terrible. She was not lighting the world on fire in her come out party for main NXT. I know that she had a very long championship reign in NXT UK. Whatever was happening there was not happening here.
Yeah, it did not translate over.
Yeah.
She lost. She had her comeback. And loses to Mandy Rose. Like, wait a sec. This is written for her to, overcome.
Well, and she had, what, two chances to overcome Mandy Rose and lost both times?
Yeah.
It was
even, her own gimmick.
Yeah, I believe that was when... One of those times, I believe, is when Toxic Attraction either got formed or they really did kind of... Oh, because was that... Did Isla Dawn cost her the second match?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it was. Oh, yeah. Because I do think that Toxic Attraction helped... I was going to call her Trish, Jesus Christ. And now why Mandy Rose? I was like, I really am blanking on what her name was. Gee, mini Christmas. So Mandy Rose got help from Toxic Attraction the first time, and then the second time gets help from Isla Dawn. And it's just like, but it's still, you know, we talk about it a lot, where a loss is a loss. Like, at some point, like, everyone does kind of forget the circumstances for the most part.
Yeah.
And it's just like, sorry, you lost two championship matches. Like... Why am I supposed to take you seriously exactly? So yeah,
there's a lot of that though. People constantly losing, losing big matches. I know they just wanted Mandy Rose to keep winning, but it was like, I don't know why. First off, but you know, whatever. But yeah, like that match should be fine. It's like Alba Fire, and yeah, she's the best one of them. So
yeah, I don't it's like Isla Dawn still seems like a little bit she's done more promos than in-ring work, and I'm just like okay, like I guess I'm still not completely sure what to think of her, because the witch shtick is it's weird to say that it feels silly when I'm talking about all this other silly shit that I like, but
yeah. No, that's silly. That's silly. That's too silly. Like, is it? Okay. You know, I really don't like Papa Shango, but the Boogeyman's right up my alley. Really?
Okay. Yep. So calling out my own weird bias there. That those two really still, even though they've gotten a gimmick, they haven't. I haven't really bought into them still yet, and. Again, like that seems like a match ripe for Alba Fire and Isla Dawn to win.
Yeah,
I don't know if the storyline comes out then, or if something else costs Fallon and Kiana.
Well, there's so many different ways to go about it for them to lose. You know, Brooks could cost them the match. Briggs could cost them the match. Fallon can walk out. You know, any of this stuff. So, because Keanu James has kind of shown, like, she's sticking with it. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She has some end game in mind. Like, that's the other thing that does seem to be in play, is that she, no matter what, she keeps on covering things up. Like, it is funny that Fallon, every time, like, I got her this time. You need to tell him the story, you know, like, you need to tell him the truth. It's just like, hey, I got you guys the match.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like that. It's like, well, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, but, you know, hey, talk about this instead. Like, nice deflection, lady.
Yep, true politician's work that she has going on.
Yeah. But no, it's like, it's funny where NXT was 2 years ago. I wouldn't have expected to be like, I mean, I looked forward to the show I went to, and I thought it over-delivered. Had a great time watching that show. And now we've got this show coming up here, which I'm looking forward to. Like, I'm legitimately going to sit down at noon on a Saturday, or is it 1? Whatever time it is.
I think it's 1 Eastern. Yeah, because we haven't even talked. One that I'm definitely looking forward to and should be a wild one. Wesley, Dragon Lee, JD McDonagh, Ilya Dragunov, and Axiom. And somehow JD McDonagh is going to be the tallest man in this match.
I knew.
I could not resist. So funny. Could not fucking resist.
He's the big man of the match.
He is the big man of the match. Good lord. At 5'10", he is the big man of the match.
Is that a ladder match or no?
It is just a it's saying fatal five-way on Wikipedia. The women's match is the ladder match. That's right.
Yes. Which, what a bizarre thing that is, that whole storyline.
Well, and yeah, that was another story to at least get to before punching out of this this podcast. But I guess there isn't much to say. Like, the open challenges have been kind of fun. I think we talked about it a little bit, where it's been weird that people don't fight over the championship challenge like they've shown for Wesley here. But it definitely gives it the championship a little heft. So I like that they've decided to go that route, and should be a good match. Like, I guess there isn't a lot to say, just because it's a 5-person match. I guess I assume that the champion usually is going to retain in those types of situations. We haven't really made any real predictions, so I don't know why I'm worried about it at this point.
Yeah, don't worry about it now. We would have planned something, I guess we could have. But yeah, I don't know. It's funny because the North American title is almost, seemingly always defended in a ladder match. So that's why I asked, because like, I don't remember them saying anything. But the women's match being a ladder match, all right, you shouldn't have two on the same show. But again, though, a fatal five-way or whatever is no disqualification, so they can still pull ladders and stuff out if they wanted to. Doesn't make sense, no, but, you know, that's what they do. So.
Yeah. And, but yeah, I guess with the ladder match, I agree with you. It felt like from Jump Street that Roxanne Perez was going to be available from this match. And it seemed really weird that they decided to go the route that they went.
It seemed like there was like a legitimate item for a while, unless that was just really good subterfuge on WWE's part.
Anytime they film it that much, I think that it's fake.
Yeah. Well, no. Like, her passing out and stuff, no. But like, there was something going on that they had to run that angle. That's what I meant.
Okay.
So, but yeah, so it's going to be fun. I'll be there for 3 hours sitting here on a Saturday. You know? So, I'm already going to make all my junk, snack food, whatever. So, you know, don't have to leave the house. Just do what I want. It's going to be great.
Okie doke. Well, do you have a that sounds like a wrap up statement to me.
Yeah, I think so.
Bell time beer it. On your end.
No, but do you want to do predictions for every single match right now, real quick?
Sure, why not?
No, I don't.
I could do them for just. I'm good for just NXT. All right,
well,
I did not make them for. Chris and I made them for WrestleMania, so I'm okay with skipping that.
Okay.
Number one listed on Wikipedia: Johnny Gargano, Grayson Waller, unsanctioned match.
That has to be Gargano, right? That has to be.
When you get bitched at your own house, you really should win the fight in the long run. So yeah, it feels like a Gargano win here. I'd be more than happy with a Waller win, but you know, like, to me, you're not leaving the territory anymore. So if you lose on TV, you lose on TV. And I don't like that for the guy that's definitely going to be on the main roster also.
Yeah, and then also, Grayson Waller losing doesn't mean he can't go after Carmelo Hayes, too. And Braun, if he wants to go back after him.
Yeah.
Yeah, what else we got?
He can talk his way into feud. I'm going to save that for later, for those two. Let's go with Chase U against the Schism.
I think the Schism's going to win. So
it definitely feels like the Schism's going to win this one. So we are on the same page on that one.
I hope there's a happy ending with Duke, but. We'll see. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
Next on the list, so why not? Gallus defending their tag team championships against the Creeds and the D'Angelo family.
It almost seems like Tony D's got to win, right?
Yeah. As much as I've kind of liked the pub antics of Gallus, I still feel like they need a little more steam behind them. So, Tony D has been looking for gold and has not gotten it and has made a point of saying that he hasn't gotten it. It seems like he needs to deliver one of these times.
Yeah. Especially because he wanted to get gold with Stacks to prove, like, you know, you're a good soldier, whatever.
Yeah.
So, that's what it just seems like to me. And Gallus has not made an impression whatsoever outside the bar fight.
Yep. All right. Wesley, Dragon Lee, JD McDonough, Ilya Dragunov, Axiom.
It almost seems like Axiom should win. The way he, like, not weaseled his way in, but the way he's been stalking all the time.
No.
But if he wins, there's no story after this. So I'm going to say Wesley, just so Axiom can still keep bothering him afterwards.
I still think that Wesley can take pretty much all of these guys on individually, because I don't feel like he's really had a full-on feud with any of them.
No.
Obviously, Dragon Lee would be impossible, but since this is his first match in NXT. Yep. But okay, Fallon Henley, Kiana James, taking on Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. I think we both.
The witches seemingly have to win this, right?
The witches.
They have everything going for them.
Yeah. Actual tag team.
And then also them losing furthers, you know, the whole Jensen Briggs glove stuff.
Yeah.
So, makes sense.
Yep. Women's Championship match: Roxanne, Zoe, Gigi, Tiffany, Lyra, Indy.
It really seems like Tiffany Stratton should win, right?
There are two. She is a definite chance at winning before Roxanne was officially put back in. I'm like, you've got to finally pull the trigger with Zoe Stark here, right? Just because she's kind of been like, I'm the best. And then she's never won any of her championship matches either against Mandy Rose. So,
well, So you're going.
Well, I'm saying it's either Tiffany Stratton or Zoe Stark. If the championship changes hands, I guess you can't have both champions walk out of big matches. Sure, what the hell? If you're going Tiffany, I'm just going to go Zoe Stark. Cause she's
No. I was just asking. It seems like it's time for Tiffany to win. I get this weird feeling Indy Hartwell's going to win.
Oh.
Because she's been going through this month-to-month thing about how she's not getting to whatever else, right?
Yeah.
And then she gets in at the last moment. So is this like her seizing the moment, or is it going to be this is the one that sets her over the edge? She becomes a full-fledged heel. But I'm going to go with the goofy pick with Indy Hartwell, because I don't think anyone's going to pick her. So.
Fair enough. That could be an interesting story should they decide to go that route. And then last, not least, Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes. I think that our preview kind of set us up for answers that are going to come here anyway.
Seems time.
Yeah.
Unless he's going to the roster, unless he's going up. And if that's the case, Carmelo losing is fine. If he's staying there and loses, that's not a good idea. So I got to go with Carmelo.
I kind of want to. Yeah, and I think both of us were on that page. As much as I've liked Bron Breakker, I think he's done the deed. Yeah, he's still just young at wrestling, and I would be okay with him experiencing some not championship time.
Yeah.
So
he's been a champion almost the whole time he's been in NXT. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. That's why I'd be okay with it. Again, like I mean, that's just a different part of the job. Maybe he tweaks his character. Maybe something happens because of the loss that, you know, leads to just something better for him in general in the long run. So, yeah, Carmelo Hayes. I think we pretty much agreed on most of those.
Yeah, that's what I do think Tiffany Stratton's going to win, but I'm going to go with Indy just in case.
Yep.
But Tiffany doesn't need the title, so she doesn't really need to win.
Nah, she and I guess that's why the other reason why I maybe lean towards Zoe Stark. Stark, to me, as long as she isn't pinned, she's okay if Roxanne retains and they end up having a full feud later.
Yes.
But yeah, to me, it's Tiffany's or not Tiffany's time, Zoe's time. If they really want to do that, like I mean, they really seem to have had her as something weirdly of an uncrowned champion. So, yeah, I think those were the only disagreement points.
Yep.
So, you said no bell time beer on your end.
I had two before I got here. Lower left, Edge of Precipice, Pale Ale, good stuff. I can't remember the other one, so it was an IPA, but I don't remember the name of it. But it was good. They always make good stuff. So
this one is from your neck of the woods, not quite Charlotte, but Raleigh, North Carolina. Crank Arm Brewing, Crunchy Bearings, Fruited Milk Stout. It's a raspberry and blackberry milk stout, and it is extremely delicious. And this has been on my march of cleaning out the old beer fridge before I finally put in beer from like December. So
I don't think I'll be having a few this weekend while I'm watching. So
yeah,
some wild stuff.
That would be the upside to staying in to watch NXT Stand and Deliver this Saturday at whatever time it happens to be on.
Take a break, Peacock. Go ride my bike. It's not raining. Then come home and watch WrestleMania. So.
This Stunt Granny Audio 839 brought to you by DeFranco 11 and Granny Maze over on that side. Brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.